so thankful that we can turn our eyes upon Jesus and focus on him, and all of the trouble in this world just fades away in his presence. Praise the Lord. All right, we're going to have Shirley come up, and I do want to thank the Lord. I spent the last 2 days writing, but the newsletter is done, and it's printed, and it's published online. It was a very busy couple of days, but thank God we got it done. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're going to have Shirley come up, and she is going to lead a Bible study. Praise the Lord.
Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. You know, it is wonderful to be able to turn our eyes on Jesus. And oh my, you know, our focus can get so off so many times. You know, we get just busy and frustrated and, you know, full of concerns and full of just plain living. And you know, sometimes we forget, you know, just turn your eyes on Jesus. You know, he knows how to take you through this. He knows how to get you through this situation. You know, it's simple for him.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Yes, we are very blessed to know the living God. Oh, yes, very blessed to be here tonight. So thankful for the services we've had most recently with all the visitors. And we've got Sharon and Leslie here tonight, and that's so beautiful. Praise the Lord. Oh, they've come a long ways to be here, and we're so grateful to see their faces. Amen. Amen. We just, oh my, we'd like to keep them forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Of course, one of these days we will be at home forever. Amen. One with our God, one with each other. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, in that city where the Lamb is the light. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. Praise the Lord. Sam, can everybody hear me? Could you ask? I know I had a comment on the weekend that my voice didn't carry real well. Wasn't sure if the mic was just perfect or whatever. But okay. Praise the Lord. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, God. Oh, yes, this world. Amen. But God is so good. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to go into his word, and we'll just pray and ask the Lord to be here first. And oh, sure do need him. Praise the Lord. Without him, as we so know, we could do nothing. Amen. Let's pray as we begin here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this wonderful opportunity. Thank you for your word, oh God, that talks to our hearts, and that moves us, that changes us, Lord, that gives us the directives that we need to walk this world and oh, to overcome. And oh Lord, we just know we're just dust of this earth, but oh Lord, you've made us, you put us here for this time and for this hour, Lord. And oh God, we know that thou art the faithful one. Oh God, who called us to serve you. Oh God, who put us here. And I pray, oh Lord, that you'd keep that which we have committed unto thee against that day, Lord. I pray, oh Lord, oh God, that you would cause us to be stirred in our hearts, that our minds would be stayed upon thee, Lord. And oh God, that we would learn to seek your kingdom first and foremost, above everything else, Lord. Oh God, that the things of this world, oh, would not, oh my, be the things that, oh, we deal with and meditate upon. But oh God, that, oh Lord, you'd help us to seek the heavenly things. Oh, the things that are so much greater than us, Lord. Oh, Jesus, we thank you. We praise you. We worship you, Lord. You know the needs of your children, Lord. You know how to help us here tonight, Lord. And I pray that you would be here. I pray that faith would be here, Lord. I pray that your spirit would be here. I pray that you would talk to us, Lord. Oh, God, oh, Lord, we need you, Lord. You know precisely exactly what we have need of here, Lord. And I pray, oh Lord, that you would intervene, that you would talk to us, Lord Jesus, that you'd help us to draw nigh unto thee and to get ready, to get right, Lord. Oh God, to have our lamps trimmed and burning. Oh God, we thank you in the name of Jesus. I ask that you take, oh Lord, this message and use it. Oh God, oh Lord, that you'd help us, Lord. Oh God, that it would stay with us, that your word, oh God, would be in front of our faces, Lord, in our hearts, deep down in our souls, Lord. Oh Jesus, help us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Help your people, Lord, with every struggle, with every need, with every pain, oh Lord, with every need, oh Lord, for deliverance. Oh God, for your power, for your healing, for your salvation, Lord. I pray that you would work here in our hearts and all among us, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, in your precious saving name, by the power of the blood, Lord. I give this message to you, ask you to use it. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, we've had some happy times here, that's for sure. We're always very blessed and happy to have baptisms, and we had three of them Sunday, Brother Leslie included, and Cheryl and Peter there from Canada, and you know, thank the Lord. Do keep these precious people in prayer, please. You know, I know sometimes it's, you know, it's a struggle, this road, this life with the Lord, but Jesus came to this earth and he overcame. You know, he came as a man so that he might go through the same things that we as human beings go through. Oh yes, and that he might overcome. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh yes, he did make himself higher than mankind, but he put on this human form, even the form of a servant, to come to this world to save us from our sins. Amen. Oh, praise the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. We're going to call this message here tonight, He is able to deliver thee. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. He is able to deliver thee. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. Let's just start here with some verses here from John, the 16th chapter. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, words of Jesus. Praise the Lord as he was on his way to Gethsemane. Let's go here to the 23rd verse here to begin and read the rest of this chapter, chapter 16 here of John. Praise the Lord. Verse 23. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak with you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I will say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into this world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no more proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. And here is verse 33, and I want to focus on this verse. It says, These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you know, he was just forewarning them, as he often did. It was hard for his disciples to grasp that he was going to go to the cross, and that he was going to give his life a ransom for many, and you know, he was not always going to be with them. You know, it just was very, very hard to grasp. And yet, you know, he's trying to, you know, give them clues. And you know, there was an understanding that at that point, they would not fully understand it. It would be somewhat, you know, ununderstandable. They would, you know, certain things had happened before it would become clear. And, you know, I think they were thinking they were getting it a little bit more, but in reality, I don't really think so, because, you know, he's pretty much telling them, you know, it's going to be a little different. I'm going to go back to the Father and so on, to the eternal Spirit of God, and you know, I'm going to leave this world, so to speak, and all, you know, that was extremely hard for them to understand. Well, it would be for any one of us when you love somebody so dearly, and you know, you're so blessed to be in his presence and to hear his words and his counsel, and then, you know, to, you know, hear him say, well, you know, I'm not always going to be with you. But of course, you know, he said he was going to come again and receive them unto himself, that where he is, there we might be also. And we have a great hope way beyond this world. But yes, when they would receive the gift of the Holy Ghost after the day of Pentecost, things would be much clearer to them. Their understanding would kind of like would ignite, sort of like, so that all at once things that had been rather mysterious would become much clearer. Praise the Lord. But yes, he's forewarning them. They're going to be scattered. It's not going to be easy. And then, oh yes, as he was ending this little discourse, you know, he told them, These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. And I thank God for that peace. You know, it's a peace past understanding. It's a peace that the world of itself cannot understand. It's a peace when we know that our hearts are right with God and that we're in accord with him. But oh yes, a peace that, you know, in the midst of trouble, we still can feel that confidence and strength in the Lord and not be shaking and afraid. Praise the Lord. And he said, yes, in this world ye shall have tribulation. But oh yes, on the other hand, he says, you know, I want you to be of good cheer, because although that is true, all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, it is told us, but Jesus told us here, I have overcome the world. And thus, oh my, you're going to be able to overcome the world too. Praise the Lord. You know, when you think of heaven, the people that are on the other side, they're forever at home with the Lord Jesus. We all are going to have some things in common. And one thing that's very much in common is that we're all overcomers. And you've heard me say this before, but you know, if we didn't have struggles, if we didn't have hardships, if we didn't suffer pain at times, what would we have to overcome? And you know, it's these struggles, it's this pain, it's, you know, the troubles that draw us closer to the Lord. It's those things that teach us how to get a hold of God and how to cry out from our very being. And oh yes, how to find the answers through the Spirit of the living God. Oh, praise the Lord. When he comes through, when he answers, oh, there's nothing to compare to that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes. Oh, yes. We need to be of good cheer. Yes, Jesus walked this earth and he overcame. So thus, he's going to give us the ability and the strength to overcome likewise. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Psalms 46 here for a little bit. Praise the Lord. Psalms chapter 46. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, it starts here, this very wonderful scripture here. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And oh my, you know, it's a wonderful thing to have somebody to cry out in the midst of trouble. You know, sometimes you hear the amazing things that God does when we are in trouble. Mm-hmm. You know, you were sharing a lot yesterday here at the church, and Sister Pam was with us at that point too. And you know, we were just talking about, you know, points, and we had that privilege, you know, over the weekend as we shared, you know, with, you know, victories that each of us have been able to enjoy because we had those moments where things seemed really hard, maybe impossible, and yet God proved himself faithful. God came to us and he helped us. You know, he did whatever was needed for that moment. And you know, sometimes it's a very great thing, something that would totally seem impossible to man. But yes, we know that we have this anchor of our soul. We have this one, oh, who is our refuge and our strength. Even when our own strength fails, he knows how to give us a strength that comes from him. Oh yes, how to get us to that place where even though we might have felt sick, maybe, you know, we couldn't hardly walk, but God gave us what we had need of for that very moment. So that we could go forth and do something that, you know, others would have thought impossible. And because we have this knowledge of our God, that he is our refuge and our strength, and that very present help in trouble, it tells us in verse 2, therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah, You know, I think those verses 2 and 3 really kind of describe the end time scenario. Oh yes, when everything is coming to its final end, and this earth is removed out of its place, and you know the mountains are shaken, and you know on fire, and you know, as it says here, carried into the midst of the sea, and you know there's all those pestilences and troubles, and as you know, the Lord comes, and I believe, oh, I don't know exactly how that's going to be, but oh, at some point He's going to deliver us. It's going to take us out before this earth is consumed and the heavens pass away with a great noise and the elements melt with fervent heat and earth and all that is therein shall be burnt up. You know, the Lord's going to get us out of here. He's going to make a way. Praise the Lord. We can have that confidence that we don't have to be afraid, that we don't have to struggle, that we don't have to fear, because we serve a God who is mighty, who is powerful, who knows how to deliver us out of any circumstance, no matter how crazy it might seem. Amen. Oh, yes, those wonderful stories. You know, here we were driving down the road, and, you know, there was a semi that was, you know, right, you know, maybe put its brakes on just in front of us, and, you know, we easily could have, you know, been rammed and, you know, destroyed, but God made a way, so somehow, you know, our vehicle just turned and moved and did something else, so, you know, we're here, we're alive, you know.
Amen.
God took us through that, amen. Of stories of deliverance. Praise the Lord. You know, it's a mighty thing. You know, I just thinking at the moment, years ago, Pastor David, when he was quite a new convert to the Lord, he was telling how, you know, he was going down the road and you know, he thought he could pass. He thought he could pass on the road. It looked clear, but, you know, lo and behold, you know, his car wouldn't move. The steering wheel wouldn't pass. It just wanted, and just at that point, another vehicle just whizzed past him, and he realized, you know, if the steering wheel would have moved like usual, that, you know, he would have been hit. And, you know, I think we've all got stories like that. I know one time here in Beaver Dam, even I was going down, I guess it was a corporate road or lane or whatever it's called, and anyway, I didn't realize this big semi was it was in the second lane, and I didn't realize it was turning. I didn't see a directional on, and I thought I could pass him. And praise the Lord, I did, but it was just by a second because it was turning, and I easily was in jeopardy. But, you know, thank the Lord because He's helped us again and again. Praise the Lord, and oh, we can have confidence in God. We don't have to be shaking and full of fear, you know, when we hear the end times and, you know, all the things that are coming upon the face of the earth. You know, we can look to God and, you know, He has helped us thus far. And He's going to take us the rest of the way.
Amen.
Amen. If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, He's kept us. He's taken us through troublesome times. You know, I'm looking at Brother Leslie here and, you know, just thinking a little bit about the motorcycle accident, and you know that you suffered, and you know the story could have been so different, but God preserved you and kept you and healed you and, you know, brought you here today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, the wonderful plan of God. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, we can be participants in His kingdom. Oh, praise the Lord. So it goes on here. Verse 4 tells us, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. And praise the Lord, God is talking about His people. He is in the midst of us, and that's, oh yes, another proof positive point that, you know, we don't have to be afraid. Our mighty God is here with us. But praise the Lord, it talks about that river. And oh yes, we sang about that river tonight. Jesus talked about that river. If we just turn to the book of John for a moment. Chapter 7, praise the Lord. The book of John, and go down in chapter 7 to verse 37. It tells us here in this 7th chapter of John, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Oh yes, the Holy Ghost could not be poured out until Jesus ascended back into heaven and was glorified. But oh yes, he's foretelling of it here. Oh yes, and oh, you see the promise, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Oh yes, he's talking about the Holy Ghost that he gives his people. Oh yes, that flows from deep within, that fountain of living waters that comes to satisfy our souls, to fill us with the depths of his Spirit. Praise the Lord, that power that, oh yes, he promised. "And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world." Praise the Lord. Oh yes, that power that he sent back. Oh yes, so that we could overcome this world. Oh yes, so that we could be that light, so that we could be that witness in the midst of great darkness. Oh yes, even in perilous times, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, yes, that promise. Oh, he that, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." And oh, that thirst of our soul. Oh, that craving for something that we know not of until we find the living waters, till we find Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord, yes, he gives us something that is deep within, that satisfies our inner being. Oh, that gives us a hope beyond this world. Oh yes, and that knowledge that our God is with us. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, that woman who Jesus talked to at Samaria too. Oh, Jesus also talked to that Samaritan woman about those wells of living water. Oh yes, you know, there she was at a well. And oh yes, Jesus told that woman in verse 10 of chapter 4 of John, "If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." And of course, she didn't understand that, as none of us really could have had, you know, understood at that moment, you know. "The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" Well, Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. For the water that I shall give him shall be in him, a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Oh, yes, this woman was getting thirsty. Oh, yes, and as we hear all these words of life, it should make us thirsty, thirsty for this living water, and all that, is drawn from this well. It is so deep that there is no bottom. There's always more. There's always more of the Spirit of God that we can draw from. Praise the Lord. There is no limit. Thank the Lord, this well that goes down, 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 so deep, so full, so rich, so abundant. Oh, praise the Lord, always there to meet every need and to satisfy the soul.
Amen.
Amen. To satisfy the soul. Oh, yes, we drink that H2O, you know, when we're thirsty.
Amen.
It helps us for a while. Amen. But oh my, you know, Jesus was talking about a water, that would satisfy that longing, that desire in the soul that you can't, you know, there's no thing on earth that, other than Jesus Christ, that can quench that thirsting for the living water. Oh yes, the salvation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, all part of the abundant life that Jesus Christ offers. Amen. Oh, yes, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, what a testimony to that woman. And, she was so convinced, and Jesus even told her that he was the Messiah. He said, "I that speak unto them, he," you know, because she had enough knowledge to know that, when, the Messiah comes, he that is called the Christ, he's going to tell us all these things there, as it tells us in verse 25. But, praise the Lord, Jesus revealed himself unto this woman, because, she had a hunger and she had a thirst. Oh my, and despite her background, despite her sinful lifestyle that she had been living in, God saw something that was, a longing of the soul. And praise the Lord, he knew that he could offer her salvation. Oh, praise the Lord, he would change her. Oh, yes, he would change her lifestyle. Oh, my, no, it would give her, that ability to drink from that water that never runs dry. Praise the Lord. Oh, it wasn't quite ready there when Jesus spoke, but it soon would be after he was received back into heaven. Oh, yes, he sent back the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. Amen. So, yes, we all can be recipients of his great gift. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So here, going back to Psalms 46. Yes, it's foretold here in verse 4. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. And look, it's plural, the word tabernacle. It's plural. It's talking about the dwelling places of the Most High. You know, when we yield our life to the Lord, we become his dwelling place. He comes to live in us. We become his tabernacle.
Amen.
Our tabernacles, as each of us, are drawn to him. Praise the Lord. And praise the Lord. It says God is in the midst of her. Yes, we were told in Matthew, I believe chapter 18, where two or three of you are gathered together in my name, there am I in your midst. And it's a beautiful thing to think, he walks up and down the aisles. Oh, he sits with us. He communes with us. He talks to us. He urges us. He draws us. Oh, yes, sometimes it might be a scripture. Sometimes it might be inspiration. Oh, my. Sometimes it just might be, reassurance. But, yes, he's here. He's here. He's here to meet every need. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, to touch us and oh, yes, to give us those things that we had need of. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. We had some special prayer on Sunday. And I know Sister Sharon has been sharing that, you know, when she was prayed for, she could feel the Lord touching her in that very spot where she needed healing. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes it's just that vivid and that real. But oh yes, by faith, we know that he hears us. Oh, that he answers our prayers. Oh yes, and that he will do what he has said. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. And oh yes, we are so blessed. Oh yes, to have this wonderful God, the creator of the universe, as our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Amen. And you know, it goes on in verse 6 to talk about the heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. Now, I believe that's talking about the end of the world. Oh yes, you know, and it's also spoken of in Psalms, the second chapter. Oh yes, actually referring to that moment when our God returns. Oh yes, to judge the world in his righteousness. Oh yes, so when it's going to be over, as far as all of that, you know, the heathen that are raging right now, full of their fury, full of their plans, full of their devices. They imagine a vain thing, as it mentions in Psalms 2, verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? They actually literally think that they can overtake God. That they can destroy his people. You know? You know, they're plotting it and they're planning that very thing. It says the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. And oh, that's the plotting and the planning of those who have rebelled against God. You know, that you come together to, you know, take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed. And, you know, thinking, oh my, you know, that they're pretty smart, that they're pretty wise, that they can actually literally fight God and his people. But, oh, yes, I love verse 4 there in that second psalm. It says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. You know, they're planning. They think they're going to do this. They think they're going to take the world. They, you know, they're going to set up AI and, you know, do all this and that. Huh. Well, God, you know, he knows that's not going to happen. You know, their plans, their, you know, agenda for 2030 and looks like some things are, you know, in the making, you know, and this is and that's, but oh my, there's a moment, and I believe it's very soon. God's going to say, hey, it's over. This is enough. I've had it. You know, you're not going one step more to the heathen. And yes, he's going to laugh, you know. He's going to have them in derision. And then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Oh, yes, he's coming. He's coming. Oh, yes. He's coming to rule and to reign. Oh, yes. And oh, to judge the world in his righteousness. And oh, yes, man's schemes. They're plotting and planning. All of that is going to be over. And yes, despite of what they're trying to do, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. There he is. He's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and every eye is going to see him. Oh yes, those that mocked and those that, plotted against him, all the ones are going to see him in his might, in his power. Oh yes, you know, he came the first time as a lowly babe. They laid him in a manger, no place in the inn, you know. Very unnoticed, you know, very poor, you could say. But oh, this next time when he comes, there's, you know, there's going to be a lot of trembling. those that have not feared God, those that have not taken advantage of his mercy, those that have schemed against him. Oh, it's not going to be pretty. Oh, yes, so because he's coming. He's going to come with clouds. He's going to come with his people, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall mourn because of him. Oh, yes, I believe the resurrection of the dead is going to happen at that moment, many things spontaneously and all at once. Here he's going to be, you know, that sound of the trumpet, you know, that shout from heaven. And you know, every eye is going to see him. And they're going to know. They're going to know how we want our hearts to be right with him. So, oh my, you know, he came to deliver us from sin. He came to take away sin out of our lives. And oh yes, we better have turned it over to Jesus Christ, because he's going to see all those piercing eyes that are going to see through every individual and besides know every detail of their lives. It's all recorded. It's all well known. Nothing is hidden from our God. And there he comes, those clouds. Oh, clouds of witnesses with his people, with the holy angels, oh, coming, and oh, the resurrection of the dead, and oh my, every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Oh, that understanding at that moment, he is Lord. He has risen from the dead. He is Lord. Oh, yes. And how we need to acknowledge that now while we have these moments. We need to, oh, yes, give him the worship and the praise that he is so entitled to. Oh, yes, because one day it will be too late. It will be too late. And oh, yes, it tells us in Psalms 2, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree the Lord has said unto me. Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And of course, when he brought Jesus into the world, he brought Jesus in as a son of God. Oh yes, and he was begotten of the Father in that sense. Oh yes, though he was God robed in flesh. And then, oh yes, it's asked of, at that moment there in verse 5, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. And oh yes, it's talking about the judgment. In verse 9, thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel, like nothing. No matter how strong and powerful they thought they were, those that oppose our God. Oh, they're going to be broken. Oh, with a rod of iron and dashed in pieces like a potter's vessel, like nothing. So some advice is given in the next three verses here in Psalms 2. It says, be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. In other words, when it says kiss the Son, lest he be angry, it's telling us get right with God now while you have a moment before he comes in his wrath, in his anger, his great indignation. Oh my, when he comes to judge this world and it's going to be over. Yes, make it right with God now, lest he be angry and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, what advice. Oh, there in verses 9 and 10 and or 10 and 11 and 12. Oh, yes, that need to get right with God. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So, yes, I believe Psalms 46 is referring to the great day of God when it says, the heathen rage, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, in what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth a spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Oh, yes, we're advised in verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Oh, yes, be quiet right now and acknowledge God. Know that he is God, that he is, and that he is the great God. Amen. And yes, he is going to be exalted among the heathen. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen, as it tells us in Philippians. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. But oh yes, he came to deliver his people. And yes, he came to deliver us from our sin state, which is a wonderful thing when we can turn our lives over to the living God. He came to deliver us out of our troubles when we put our faith and our trust in him. Amen. And oh, he came to deliver us from that final scenario when he comes to judge this world in his righteousness, and every knee is going to bow, things in heaven and things in earth, things under the earth. Oh yes, and every tongue is going to confess that God, that Jesus Christ is God. He is the Lord. Oh yes, amen. We're going to understand at that moment. Amen. Praise the Lord. But oh yes, we are so blessed that we can serve him. Just turning to Psalm 34 for a small passage here. Psalms 34. If we look at verse 17 here, it says, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. He hears our cries. Praise the Lord. And he not only hears, but he delivers them out of all their troubles.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. He says the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. You know, that spirit that is willing to be humble and to acknowledge one's need of God. Oh, yes, you know, that has a broken heart. Remorse over sin and the past, all the things that we did that, oh, were not pleasing to the Lord. He sees that. And he comes close to those that have that broken heart. You know that, you know, sorrow over sin and over the past, over rebellious deeds and so on. Oh, yes. And saveth such as be of a contrite spirit, a humble spirit that is willing to submit to God. And then verse 19 tells us, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all.
Amen.
Isn't that beautiful? Yes, we have trouble here on this earth. And sometimes those pains that come and go, or maybe are sometimes pretty consistent. And oh yes, all these things. But our God knows how to deliver us out of them all, praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Of course, that specifically is prophetic concerning Jesus Christ there hanging on the cross. You know, despite him being on that cross, not one of his bones were broken. Amazing thing. And then this chapter ends by saying, Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Oh, in other words, empty and barren, deserted, lifeless. Oh, praise the Lord. He hears the cries of his people. He's nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's go to the New Testament now for some scriptures. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Oh my, I'm never going to finish this tonight, I don't think. I just looked at the clock. Oh my, but let's look here. Oh, okay, 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is Paul writing here in this third chapter. He said this, "Know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." And when I think of the word perilous, I take it to mean days of peril. And then the descriptions that follow are so relevant to our present time, I feel. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, petty, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away." And oh my, you could really have a sermon just with these few verses here. Amen. But it's so very descriptive of our times with individuals without natural affection. And, oh, yes, people that are lovers of their own selves and you know, high-minded, you know, just full of themselves, I would say, in being high-minded, heady, just, oh, boy, just... this rash, ruthless attitude that comes forth. All the other descriptions here, oh my, those that are without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, oh, those without restraint, or just without control, and you know, all these words just describe our moments here. The narcissist society, people that are lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, all of those things. And then verse 5, "having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." Oh yes, there's a lot of organizations, there's a lot of religions that have some kind of form of godliness, but the power of God is denied. Mm-hmm. Oh yes, they're just fakes, you know, they're just pretenders, but oh my, you know, here we're admonished from such turn away. You know, if the power of God isn't manifest in the midst, oh yes, and of course, the Holy Ghost is that power. Oh my, then it tells us from which to turn away. "For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Again, seems very descriptive of these times that we live in right now. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these which resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further. For their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was, and all of this will be revealed. And you know, it talks about Jannes and Jambres and magicians that dealt with Moses and obviously, you know, wanted to play their own game, you know, mocking what Moses was doing and the God that he represented. But yes, we're told, but these, they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men. It's going to be revealed. It's going to be made clear, as theirs also was. But Paul is writing, and oh, he's telling, oh, yes, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. And I'm sure those attributes did not come immediately to Paul. You know, it often takes a lot of suffering to gain patience. Oh, yes, to gain faith. And oh, yes, to see the greater purpose and end. And oh, yes, to develop charity. But oh, yes, Paul went through great struggles. He went through much pain and suffering. It tells us in verse 11, as he's describing his situations, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Oh, praise the Lord. And he says, and yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
Yes, they will.
Yes, it's actually a token that we are the children of the Lord. I believe we're told in 2 Thessalonians. But oh, yes, he went through great struggles. He went through persecutions. Paul went through afflictions. And here he's making a reference to those particularly that came to him at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. I believe he's making reference to his first missions trip. And we could turn to Acts chapter 13 and 14 here. I certainly can't read the whole thing at this moment. But in those two chapters, we see that as he was on this mission, there he came to Antioch at Pisidia. And, you know, he would generally, first of all, in his travels, he would go into a synagogue where it was, when it was available, when there was such. And there at this Antioch, at the first, he'd been, you know, pretty much received. Many of the Jews came to hear him and proselytes. And, you know, there was some convincing, there was some persuading. And he would come there on the Sabbath to you know, give utterance and to bring forth his message. And it's quite a message. We have time to read the 13th chapter of Acts, and he kind of gives a history, a short history of the Jewish people, but it's pretty neat how he did this. But oh, yes, yeah, so he had given what it was on his heart there at this city here at Antioch, and it was so amazing that the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came to hear him. You know, the word obviously spread that Paul and Barnabas were in town, so to speak, and they had news that they'd never heard before, news of Jesus Christ and what he had done and how he came to this earth to seek and to save those that were lost. They killed him on the tree, but oh yes, he rose from the grave. Praise the Lord, and oh, there's no story like that. Oh my, so the people came to hear him. But oh yes, when the Gentiles came to be included and with great desire, I believe they had great hunger and thirst, the Jewish people became envious, obviously, and you know, they began to speak contrary, and you know, all the negative things began to come forth out of their mouths. And then it tells us in verse 45 in this 13th chapter that the things that Paul had spoken, now they were contradicting and blaspheming. They were coming against what he had said. But all Paul and Barnabas, they waxed strong, and you know, it's, they were saying it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. And oh yes, many Gentiles heard that and were glad, and the word of God was glorified. I'm skipping down to verse 48, and it tells us as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But oh yes, with this, those Jews that got nasty and negative, oh yes, they began to persecute. It says, well, the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women, verse 50, and the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coasts. And how did Paul and Barnabas go forth then? It tells us in verse 51, but they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost, all because they realized they were being persecuted for the name of Jesus Christ. They were suffering with Jesus Christ, and oh yes, they were happy to be able to suffer for such a wonderful cause. Praise the Lord. So then, after Antioch, they went to Iconium. And oh yes, at first the response was wonderful. You have both Jews and you have Gentiles that believed, but you've got these unbelieving Jews that came and stirred up the Gentiles, and it made their minds evil afflicted against the brethren. It tells us in verse 2 here in chapter 14, and despite the works of God, because God is working. And they were able to stay there some time, long time, it says in verse 3. Therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But there was a problem. It says, but the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them. So you see the plot thickened, and you know, the hatred grew, and they are stirring up the people so that they want to get rid of Paul and Barnabas. And yes, they're thinking they're going to stone them. But praise the Lord, the news was made known to Paul and Barnabas, and they were able to flee to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, it tells us in verse 6, and unto the region that lieth round about. Now Lystra, a mighty miracle is mentioned, it happens. There's a certain man at Lystra, he's been impotent at his feet since birth, he's a cripple, he's never walked. And when he heard Paul speaking, faith grew in his heart. And you know, Paul looking at him could see faith in this man's countenance. He perceived that he had faith to be healed. And so he said with a loud voice in verse 10, stand upright on thy feet. And praise the Lord, that work of faith was honored. Mm-hmm. And he leaped and walked. And you know the people, when they saw what Paul had done, oh, they suddenly think that Paul and Barnabas must be gods. And oh, yes, they're ready to make them gods. They call for the priests of Juniper to come in, and they're ready to make sacrifice with oxen and put garlands around their necks and all to go that way. Well, Paul and Barnabas have to stop it. You know, they barely are able to restrain the people because they're, you know, oh my, they see this miracle, and that's how they think, you know, the gods have come down unto us. And, you know, they want to say that Barnabas is Jupiter and Paul is Mercury. And so, you know, they're, you know, attempting to, you know, make them gods. But thank the Lord, they're able to restrain them. But you know what happened after that? It says, and with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And then the persecution came forth. Verse 19 tells us, and there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. So this time, they literally stoned him. And then because he appeared to be dead, they took him out of the city. But praise the Lord, look what happens. My feeling is that he was dead. But oh my, here it tells us in verse 20, howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he, being Paul, rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. And it tells us, you know, after this, you know, that they came back and preached to the cities where they had been to confirm the souls that had received the Lord Jesus Christ, obeying the gospel message of repentance and baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Yes, they continued to go back to confirm the souls of the disciples and to exhort them to continue in the faith, and that they must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Well, you see, it can cost us something to serve the Lord. But oh yes, the dividends that God pays us in return for any sacrifice that we make. Oh, praise the Lord, our little bit that we do, you know, God sees it. He knows it. Oh my, and he knows how to recompense us far greater than any little effort that we put forth. Praise the Lord. And oh yes, you know, I just marvel how it was there, as you know, Paul was thinking of the situations there when he was in Antioch, when he was Iconium, when he was there in Lystra. Oh yes, when they were plotting to stone him in Iconium. Oh, when they literally stoned him in Lystra. Oh, praise the Lord. But you know, our lives are in God's hands. And oh, they're not going to be able to destroy us before the time. You know, when it's our time to go home and be with the Lord, so be it. But oh yes, Paul endured great sufferings, great afflictions. Oh yes, he mentions here in 2 Timothy, that third chapter, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Oh, our God is so able to deliver us. Oh, no matter what we may be going through, whatever the circumstance and the problem is, our mighty God does not fail. Oh, praise the Lord. He is faithful. He hears our cries. Oh, yes, he hears the cries of his people. Amen. And he comes to meet our needs. Oh, yes, to deliver us. And oh, yes, we can know as we walk this life that there's not going to be any temptation that can overtake us. It tells us in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, we all endure afflictions, struggles, pain, suffering, all those kind of things come upon us from time to time. We're not always understood. In fact, maybe more often than not, we're not understood. But praise the Lord, we have the promises of God. Oh yes, knowing that he is able to take us through. He's able to succor us. He's able to help us. Praise the Lord. It tells us in Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, going down to the 14th verse, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. He came to this earth as a man to endure hardships as we are. Oh, to know what it's like to be human. Yes, he participated in this human life. Amen. He himself also likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. And all this chapter here in Hebrews, the 2nd chapter ends, verse 18, for in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. He is able, in other words, to deliver, to set us free, to come to our aid, to come to our assistance. Praise the Lord, he put on flesh to come to this world, to be a human being, to be a man, to know what it's like to walk this earth, oh, to suffer and to die. All those things, oh, to know what it's like to need sleep, to be hungry, oh, yes, to be human. But oh, he gained the victory. Oh, yes, he overcame. Praise the Lord. And oh, yes, because he overcame. Oh, praise the Lord. He's able to help us. He's able to succor us. He's able to deliver us. Oh, yes, so that, oh, yes, we can live above those temptations. We can live above the struggles. Oh, yes, we can overcome the things that come upon us, with the devil's attempt to clobber us, to destroy us, to bring us down. But oh yes, we serve the mighty God. Oh, he knows every need, and he hears every cry. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. And just as Jesus said, oh, he said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Oh, in the midst of trouble, that we might have peace. In the world, ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Oh, praise the Lord, the one who is our refuge and our strength and the very present help in trouble. Praise the Lord, he told us to be of good cheer. He's able to succor us. He's able to help us. Oh, he knows how to give us that strength to overcome those naughty times, oh, those times of temptations, those times of trials and pain. Oh, praise the Lord, because yes, he walked this earth. He came here. Oh, yes, so he might know what it's like to be human. Oh, yes, that he might take on the death of the cross so that he could deliver us, that he could shed his blood so that we can be saved. Oh, yes, so that we can be participants in his kingdom. Oh yes, heirs of eternal life, recipients of the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord,
amen.
Oh, the one that is able to deliver us.
Amen.
Yes, from every trial, from every hard thing. Oh yes, to keep us going, no matter what happens, no matter what roadblocks may seem to be on our path. God knows how to get us through. He knows how to deliver us. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, no temptation that is not common to man, but he's able, oh, yes, because he was a human being, to take us through that temptation and to deliver us. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Amen. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Put it within us. Oh, yes, that deep realization that you are that faithful high priest, oh, that came to this world, oh yes, to set us free, oh yes, to bring us to this place, oh, of eternal life, Lord, we might rule and reign with you, Lord, we might be your children, that we might know your power, that we might know your ability, that we might be delivered, oh yes, from all the pitfalls of this life, that we might be set free. Praise the Lord by your precious blood, your saving grace, and your gift of salvation. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Lord.
In closing, we are going to open our Melodies of Praise hymnal to number 175 and sing, He is Able to Deliver Thee. 175.
Theme that the world has sung. Okay.